It's a vibe. Oh. I could listen to that for hours.
So can we. Hello, friends, family, and fellow cocktail snobs to Atwood Magazine's Tunes and Tumblers. Listening to music is more than an auditory experience. Tunes and Tumblers explores the way our senses mingle by pairing new and classic albums with cocktail and or mocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner mixologist as we approach the music we love from a unique, immersive, and thoroughly delicious perspective. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. I'm your host, Anthony, and you'll be happy to know that Pedro has made it safely home to our loving embrace. There's just one catch, though. We got so worried that Ryan drove out to Palm Springs to find him and hasn't checked in over a week. So either he's enjoying Mai Tais by a mid-century pool, or he got swallowed up by the fabled hellmouth in the desert that spawns transplants from Scottsdale, Arizona. And I would not wish that on anyone, folks. Please keep your fingers crossed responsibly. Of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I dusted off our wayward mixologist, who still can't get the musk of Coachella off of him, and he is...
Pedro.
Thank you for coming home, Pedro. And our guest today is a Philadelphia-born, Los Angeles-based singer-songwriter who has been turning up the pop scene for about as long as COVID's been a thing. He made his splash with his debut EP, Eras, while still a senior at USC, where his popular music major and philosophy minor made themselves deliciously known in his work. He's garnered raves from the likes of Wonderland, Flaunt, American Songwriter, and Ones to Watch, along with earning a coveted placement on Pigeons and Planes' Best New Artist list. He's here today to tease his latest single, True American, which drops next week and is just one of many tasty morsels off his forthcoming EP. His penchant for lightness, energy, and unabashedly being himself is sure to infect many of your playlists soon. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Sally Boy to the pod.
Woo!
Thank you for having me. I am Sally Boy. That was a crazy intro. There's so many things happening there. I feel like I was stepping into like a brand new world. World building for me.
Just learning about yourself for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. There's some things you were saying there. I was like, I did do that, didn't I? Huh? Forget that sometimes.
And your first EP, Eras, is eponymous, right?
Like, yeah, that is my name. My name is Eras. It's funny. It's like in the same vein. I forgot that I even like named it after myself. And then I was like, because I was talking to a fan. And they were like, because I was talking like asking which project they like better, and they were like, man, like Eras is a classic, but some of like the singles on that I tell myself, and I was just like, man, I really named my first project after myself. It's a pretty silly thing, but honestly, I kind of rock with it.
You gotta like what you're selling.
Exactly. I love it. I'm a fan.
And just as a little disclaimer, Ryan, the guy who is currently lost in the desert, he's usually the one feeding me notes under the table, so we'll see if we can do this whole show without me putting my foot in my mouth. No promises.
What type of notes does he feed you? Like love letters?
He's like, don't say that. Don't say that. He doesn't want that mention.
It's a lot of wrap it ups. Okay. Stay away. No, I'm just
that's nothing like you look really good on camera when you, like right now, like your hair was giving a really good hair day.
Do you want to go to the dance with me? Yes or no?
Well, he needs to start doing that. Ryan, step up your game if we ever find you. But, you know, it's been a minute, y'all. What has everyone been listening to lately?
As most of the nation is currently doing. Listening to the new Kendrick, obviously, phenomenal project. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to the new Alden project, and then the new Joy Again song, and then a bunch of like French pop shit from like the 70s. That's like
sick.
A classic. Gotta love like Francois Hardy and shit like that. Love my little French gals.
Listeners, Pedro, his head just like perked up right when right when he said French pop.
Love it.
French pop is honestly like the purest instantiation of joy in this world that we know.
You heard it. I don't have to say anything. You heard it.
But yeah, that's what I've been listening to. What about you guys?
Let's see. I can go next. So I've been working on this project for the past couple of weeks, and my boom operator, people who listen to the show know that I work on set as a location sound mixer, but my boom operator has way more eclectic taste than me, and he's been giving me a new album to listen to every day, and I got stuck on this one that he gave me last week. It kind of blew my mind a little. It's Dorian Electra's Flamboyant, And if you don't know who Dorian Electra is, they are a non-binary, gender-fluid pop artist and producer. And this album was their first full-length release. It was self-released in 2019, and it is all over the place. It has elements of EDM, funk, dubstep, trap, R&B, electronica, new wave, bubblegum, hyperpop. But if I were to distill it down into three words, it is chaotic, it's disrupting, and it's fun. Also, the album cover, like, look up the album cover. They remind me of Prince at his flashiest. Like, it's just eye-catching, and you dive in, and you're like, this music is very disarming. It's making me uncomfortable, and I love it. As far as themes, it focuses on masculinity and queerness and presents all of these gender stereotypes and attempts to kind of, like, change them into a new light. And all, like, you look at the track list, it's exactly that. The songs are called, like, Career Boy, Daddy Like, Emasculate, Man to Man. And to quote them, they said, I wanted to explore different masculine characters or tropes to make the themes accessible and relatable and fun. It's definitely more challenging than my usual recommendations, but someone has to throw the curveball since Ryan isn't here. Go listen to Dorian Electra. And their follow-up is even more insane, so start with Flamboyant.
See, there's a song called Daddy Boy. Is that what you said?
It is Daddy Like and Career Boy.
Career Boy.
Daddy Like my arch nemesis. Daddy Like Career Boy.
Daddy Like Career Boy. I almost went by Career Boy, but then I changed it to Sally instead, so it's pretty crazy.
The coincidence. Still coming off of Coachella a little bit, so I'm rotating through a lot of artists that I saw. Omar Apollo, L'Imperatrice, French Pop. They were amazing. They put on such a good show. Crumb was an artist that I hadn't, a band that I hadn't been exposed to until Coachella. They were amazing. Their show was so good. And then recently, Hoodie Allen came back onto the scene.
Oh yeah, what the heck?
So he's back. And wait, so I had to look into it. Like, it's been years. It's been years, and like, he like cleared out his Instagram and started all over.
Oh no.
And he came out with a single called Wouldn't That Be Nice. It's very different from the Hoodie Allen I was expecting. It's heartbroken and sad, and he's like singing as opposed to, you know, rapping. And I like it, but I'm very interested to see what comes of this album. To hear what the hell he's been through, because it's just been so long. So anyway, looking forward to more from Hoodie Allen. And that's what
has Hoodie Allen been through?
It sounds like he's been through an awful breakup. Yeah, I mean, he lays it out pretty plainly in the song, to be honest.
Okay, I was like, so I gotta listen to it myself.
Yeah,
that'll give a better explanation of it. Wait, I have a question. You never heard of Crumb before?
I hadn't. Yeah, no. My brother-in-law was like, "I really want to go see them," so I went with him on my way to some, like, you know, another set, and they blew me away.
Do you know, I saw Coachella that like really I never really got into like house music ever before, but I saw this guy in Floating Points.
I didn't catch that set.
That shit was crazy. I was just like sitting. I think I was like genuinely meditating for like an hour. I was introspectively figuring out all these different issues in my life, just with like the drum and bass. There's like just the constant drone of like some house music.
Coachella always has that moment.
I'm going to date myself again here and say the last time I went to Coachella was 2012, so a full decade ago. But I had a moment like that seeing a DJ called Subtract. I don't even know if they're still around, but I was like, I was right up at the front, like right next to the speakers. And I remember I was dancing with a stranger, and just that was the first time where I think like I reached the kind of like non-judgmental non-self that you're supposed to get into like with advanced meditation. And it's just like I was 100% present and part of the music. So yeah, I understand what like you mean about entering a meditative state with house music.
Yeah, I definitely had the help of on the back of some psychedelics, but
hey.
Also the music.
Yeah.
But also
just the second I was giving me a little gentle push, they're like, go this way.
They're just helping.
The drugs facilitate the discovery. It's not all about the drugs. And we're technically speaking, we only do one drug on this show, and that's alcohol. Let's get to that part. And as a quick reminder, every song that we mention on the show goes directly onto the accompanying playlist in the episode description below. And if you want to hear more about what we've had on repeat, we also have the sister playlist to this segment called YBLT, What Have You Been Listening To? That's on Spotify. You'll find it when you see a nice little BLT sandwich floating in space. There's tons of good stuff on there. Follow it. We update it every week. And send us your own music. Send us the music of your friends. Send us what you've had on. We love to feature new and emerging artists. But it's time to open up the bar. Pedro, I immediately apologize for the state of things. We did our best to keep the place clean while you were gone, but after we broke our third bottle of whiskey, we kind of just gave up.
Can't leave you kids alone for a second.
Yeah, also, like, try not to breathe through your nose. But yes, Erez, did you bring anything to show our bouncer today?
Yeah, I actually have something really good to show you guys. I thought this would be amazing. I'm going to take my headphones off so I can't hear you for half a second. I'm going to go out of the room.
Oh my gosh, the anticipation. What? Oh my God! What? Oh, listeners, we have to. Oh my God.
This is what I brought.
What are we looking at here?
This is a mascot head from so my first single of this, like, release is a song called I Love You, and we made, like, a little 3D rendered guy and we got him made in real life.
That is fucking cool.
It's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
It's giving me, like, rocket power vibes, but if, like, one of the characters melted.
Yeah, so this is my drawing, and then my friend's little, like, 14-year-old brother, like, 3D rendered it, and then I went, and then, like, we went to, like, these crazy costumes. These people are, like, oh, fucking, like, they've been doing shit forever. Like, they did Aerosmith music videos back in, like, what, like, the 80s, 90s, whenever that was, and then did David Grohl shit, and then I done, like Groot even, and they did my fucking head.
That is cool.
That's incredible.
This is my trinket. Like, that's more than, but that's probably crazier than you thought it was gonna be, huh?
That is fantastic.
A little bit, yeah.
That is fantastic.
I know, this guy's amazing. I need to name him.
You have to wear it the whole time now.
It doesn't fit over my headphones.
Oh no.
Oh well.
That's the only downside. So Mitch and Peter, our bosses at the network and the magazine, if you're listening right now, this is why you need to get us a video team and a video editor so we can actually do video segments so people can see these amazing, awesome IDs.
And what are the other things people have brought? What's, like, has there been, like, something? I feel like I just swept the floor right there with that one.
You kind of did. Honestly, you kind of did. I mean, we've had shit like birdhouses, pieces of broken motorcycles.
Food?
Like, food. Yeah, literally food. I'm still waiting for someone to bring, like, a living thing.
Yes.
As an ID.
Tessa Violet did, when we were in person, she did hers in person, and it was a sound bowl performance.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She played,
like, yeah,
the sound bowl for us. So that was, that was cool.
Auditory and performance based.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's why we love this segment.
Very interesting. This is a good segment.
Thank you.
Love creativity to run unabounded, if you will.
And it's a showcase for why we should have our liquor license revoked, because the bouncer will let anybody in with anything.
Which one of you guys is the bouncer? Is it Pedro or is it?
Oh, he exists in sort of this ether in everyone's mind.
Understandable.
We're hoping that at some point a listener will put together, like, a whole canon of what we have said about this man. Last I heard, he's a grifter who used to make money as a living Wi-Fi hotspot before he came to work for us. That was a thing that Ryan said.
So he exists on, like, the cyberspace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
He's an idea, but also a code.
If everyone thinks something exists, does it exist? I guess that's not. I guess that it doesn't necessarily, right? Because of, like, thoughts, like, not to get to go there, but, like,
I mean,
does God exist because we all think he exists? I mean, that's getting dangerously close to Orwellian doublethink, right? Like, if you get enough,
yeah, I'll definitely go in there. I definitely went there in my own mind.
We definitely need we need a drink if we're going to go down
if
this
we're
rabbit
go
hole.
There.
But first, I need to put something on the jukebox here. Pedro, since Ryan isn't here, do you want to introduce the song or should I?
You write intros better than I ever could, and I know you already have one.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's just that today we are listening to True American featuring Kyle Lux by Sally Boy, out this June via Loud Robot and RCA Records. Well, listeners, you'll have to hold on a little bit to hear this song in all its glory, but you should mix yourself whatever Pedro has on deck, put on your sandals, shades, and loudest Hawaiian shirt in your wardrobe and set a timer. True American has like these light bossa nova acoustic strummings, and it's just tailor-made for all the beach days that I can't wait for. And I didn't realize how much I personally needed a break until I heard this song. There's this moment at the end where there's that voice that says, if you need a break, you should go to giveabitchabreak.com. And to my dismay, there is no such site yet. And
we're working on it.
Okay, I went there yesterday and it was like, do you want to buy this domain? Maybe I spelled it wrong.
I think they maybe wanted to buy it off of me. You know, they're like, you want to buy it on me? Like you put in an offer and then I like decide if you deserve giveabitchabreak.com. but yeah, I think I remember buying it at least. I bought it the night that we came up with that.
Nice.
And then we're going to have a little picture of me and Kyle in like suits back to back, just like looking at the camera, giveabitchabreak.com, you know, something like that.
Will it be up by the time the song drops?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, because I need my promise break to go with my next 30 listens to True American.
You'll be getting your break, my friend. We're giving it to you.
You heard it here first. Anyway, I need a drink to complete this full picture. Mm-hmm. My hand is empty. Pedro, what have you concocted for us behind the bar today?
I mean, speaking of that, you know, website and the spoken word button at the end of the song is also my favorite part, and it's really the part that inspired this drink. I know I've been told you enjoy tequila, which is sort of like a perfect summer base to start with. And so I was just thinking to myself, you know, if I was this bitch and I was on a break, what would I want to be drinking? So it's obviously just started with some tequila and a little lime. And then I wanted to bring the Sally Boy, the sort of like the East Coast roots to this and see what I could find. And I was just sort of doing some research into like treats. I'm always someone who's sort of looking to find things that don't necessarily come like always have liquor, but that I can add liquor to, and something that would go good for the summer. And I found, I think it's pronounced Wooder Ice.
Some Wooder Ice.
So it's like, yeah, it's almost like shaved ice, but it's got, you know, fruit and like sugar, and it's sort of really sweet and delicious. Obviously I couldn't find it here in LA, so I had to make it, and I found some ways to make it online. So I made it.
No way.
And I decided to go with watermelon because I feel like that's just the perfect summer flavor. So it's tequila, lime, and some homemade watermelon water ice. And I just threw some salt and some basil on top just to give it a little something extra. And it is so refreshing, and it's perfect.
That's some real shit right there. Damn, deep dive water ice. You know, like the spot to go to is Rita's Water Ice. That's always like where I used to go on like June 21st.
I saw that on like the, when I Googled it.
Yeah.
It was giving me locations. Yeah.
Yeah, it's giving you Rita's location. It's funny because I don't think I even realized like that was just a Philly thing until maybe like a month or two ago. I was literally talking to Kyle about it, like Kyle who's on the song. And I was like, yeah, like, have you ever had like water ice? He's like, water ice? Aren't those like the same thing?
You mean ice?
Water and ice? Like, definitely the first time I ever really thought about the fact that that doesn't really make sense as a phrase. Mm-hmm. But no, I guess I never really thought of it. I would always do this. There's this one thing, I forget what it's called exactly, but it's like a mixture of gelato and water ice. And you would be like, it would be like chocolate, and then I would do mango water ice, and then chocolate, and then mango water ice.
That sounds amazing.
And it's just like layers. It was amazing. First day of summer, you get free water ice at Rita's. Man, I gotta go back to Philly.
It's the perfect summer drink, and yeah, reading up on it was really interesting, and I thought it would just work perfectly. And the drink is called Bitch on a Break.
Bitch on a Break.
So yeah,
I love that.
That's the drink.
Damn,
for True American.
Out the park.
I'm gonna need to hear a lot more about this water ice thing. I'm like trying to Google and pay attention at the same time. So it's like Italian ice, kind of.
Yeah,
or?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a yep.
Precisely.
Bitch on a Break. Wow. With that, I think I'm finally ready for summer to begin. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers. I love that. Yeah, I think that's a perfect summer drink as well. Man.
It's pretty damn good, I gotta say.
I wish I could sip it.
This has been for the past 2 years with a short break last year where we had like three people come into the studio after it's we've just been remote and Pedro's been the only one drinking it. So,
I mean, I've enjoyed it.
Pedro's just like sitting there. He's like, I made this drink and I'll just tell you guys, it's delicious.
I know you can't have any, but I gotta say, you're really missing out.
But you could just be pouring a glass of Gatorade in that bitch and no one knows anything.
Shh, I've never done that. Not once. This isn't a Slurpee from 7-Eleven. Fuck out of here. No, I actually did go all out. I made it. Like, I made it yesterday.
That's awesome.
Soon as I found, like, a way to do it.
So how did you... I'm going to start by asking you a question, Pedro, which I know is a bit unorthodox. Yeah. How did you do the water ice?
So it's really simple. It's just water, sugar, that you, like, boil together till the sugar dissolves. Or at least this is the recipe I found that seemed the simplest... And like it would work best.
Mm-hmm.
It was just water, sugar that you boil down till it's clear. And then I just blended a shit ton of watermelon and then blended those two things together, froze it overnight. And then I just shaved it today, put it in a glass some tequila and lime.
Easy.
It's nice and easy. I'm sure like the real process is a little different, but you know, trying times. Times is COVID times.
This is COVID times. Man, I think that's impeccable. I don't think most people would know how to make water ice. I guess the way I pronounce it is water ice, but some people affiliate would say water ice.
Water
ice. Well, I saw like one of the first things that came up was like water ice or water ice for you people who don't live in Philly. And I was like, oh my God, okay. All right, you're yelling at me already.
That's how you know it's authentic.
I was like, wow.
People yelling at you. Yeah, Philly's not a very quiet city by any means. Nothing's soft spoken there.
Mm. So I want to start our interview by asking about the name. Where does your stage name Sally Boy come from?
Yeah, it's often a question. It's not that crazy a story, honestly. I wrote so like on my first project, Erez, and my first single ever released is called Sally Boy, and I wrote that song. And then when I was like a while ago, like stream of consciousness was just like sort of sitting there and just like sort of singing out of nowhere. It's like Sally Boy. And then I was like, fuck it, that's me. I am he. So that's how it came to be.
And there's I was kind of reading a little bit into the backstory of not just the name, but like your kind of persona and about how it's kind of like a more authentic version of you than you have been able to present before. Is that something you can get into with us?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like what I was trying to do with Sally Boy and the West, I guess, like, I feel like that was the intention at first point, but I feel like I sort of, like, come to the point where I sort of have married the two. Because, like, for a little bit, I had this like, notion that, like, Sally Boy would be, like, sort of, like, my extra persona, like, the Magic Johnson to my Irvin. But, like, honestly, everything that I was, like, wanting to get out of Sally Boy was just stuff that I wanted to be as a human being in essence already. Mm. So yeah, it was just sort of like these ideas of like being more open with my creativity and sort of being more like free flowing with like my emotions and thoughts and not being so reserved and sort of not thinking about other people when I do my own like big decisions about myself. Those are just like small things. And then that was when I was like, damn, I got to bring that into Sally Boy, man. And I was like, damn, wait, I got to bring that into me. Mm-hmm. healthy behavior, baby. So yeah, that was sort of like a self-realization of sorts.
It's kind of like the Clark Kent Superman thing where everyone's like, oh, like Superman is his secret identity. But no, it's the reverse. It's like the normal person that we saw before, that is the disguise. And
yeah,
what
exactly.
We're coming into is more authentic.
Precisely.
And this is probably the second week in a row, or I don't know what my timeline is, but can we talk about Carl Jung for a second?
Who's Carl Jung?
Oh wow! Here we go. So he's one of the one of the fathers of
you did it.
Of modern psychology, modern. But
okay.
he has this idea that part of the self is the persona, and the persona is this mask that we wear that we think that of the person that we think we should be in the world, and that kind of prevents us from truly individuating and becoming who we are. And I think that that's something that we just inherently do all the time, right? Like how authentic are we really when we go out of our house and engage with other people?
This is true.
When you finally arrived at Sally Boy, what do you feel like changed for you?
Well, I don't think anything original, like, immediately changed. I think it definitely came, like, over time. Like, over the past 2 years, as I've been releasing through Sally Boy, and sort of, like, I've had the opportunity to impress myself upon, like, you know, thousands of new people. It sort of, like, gave me the realization that, like, nothing that I had already built up myself as being was permanent. And so I could sort of be who I wanted to be. And that was, like, sort of what I ended up doing with Sally Boy. In general, it was just sort of, like, a chance to reset and sort of, like, remind myself that I have, like, a whole new, like, I want, like, a whole world of people who've never met me that, like, have no judgments and that, like, literally nothing fucking matters.
Nothing basically matters.
Exactly. So that's basically how it went down. It wasn't like a night and day shift. It was like a gradual spectrum shift, which I'm still, you know, every day getting better at doing it.
So how would you describe him, Sally Boy? What is he like?
He's like me. I'm Sally Boy. I don't know. Describe me. Boisterous, awesome, the best.
End of interview. Done.
Anyway, well, thank you for coming in today.
That's my fucking time. No, I'm playing. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just like unapologetically like the self, you know, just like being me, fucking like trusting my own intuition, my own like desires, and my own like creative, you know, outbursts.
Did you notice a shift creatively when you started the Sally Boy project, or have you just been kind of, has this been just like a consistent output and just like the next step?
I mean, I think definitely. I mean, I was in a band for a minute in high school. Like I used to make like alternative rock and would be like just like crazy, like heavy, not like heavy metal or shit like that. Just like heavy choruses, like big choruses, like big distorted guitars. And then I feel like Sally Boy is like a way bigger shift in my songwriting and in my production choices. It's like far more intentional, I feel like. It's also only me, right? I mean, it's not only me. I don't work solely by myself, but the decisions at the end of the day are made by me, whereas in the past, made by five people. So it's like, it's always changing because I'm always changing. So there's no like Sally Boy that like, I feel like the stuff I'll be releasing in 5 years will be like vastly different. Even like my next project after this one, which I already have named Sucker Punch. Boom, I love that title. It's a pic, it's gonna be a cover art of me punching, getting punched in the face, but like in those cartoons where like the hand gets sucked into the face. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's like a tooth over there.
Yeah, exactly. But like that stuff is like way different from the stuff like if you heard Erez and then you heard Sucker Punch, you'd be like, this is not the same artist, or it's like a remix project or something like that. So that's what I think is the most different, is that it's like I have the autonomy to do whatever the fuck I want, and like whatever the fuck I want is consistently changing.
And speaking of which, as of this recording, none of y'all can listen to True American, but you can listen to Sally Boy's previous EP, Lies I Tell Myself. And I think that you play a lot with that idea of authenticity there. But one thing that I found really interesting is that every song contains at least one half truth that you tell yourself. Mm-hmm. How do these separate ideas of being authentic and kind of like being little less truthful, how do those gel for you?
Well, I think that like those little half truths that I identified, like identifying those was a way to sort of become more truthful with myself. You know what I'm saying? Like to sort of become more authentic, I guess is the word. Because identifying these made me realize that there were a lot of things that I would say to myself that like helped me feel better about small things or were like little fallbacks, you know? And like taking those away from myself and exposing them to like, you know, all the people who listen to it was sort of a way for me to be like, you're held accountable now, like you can't do that shit anymore. It's like, yeah. Well, it is sort of like paradoxical to be like, I'm authentic, and then drop a project where I'm talking about like all the things I lie to myself about. That's in the effort. I don't think I'm by any means like my most authentic self. This is all in an effort to become more and more me.
That kind of begs the question, if you are trying to become more authentic, is that itself inauthenticity? I think a lot about that It's kind of that same idea in a mindfulness practice, which is if you're trying to get to a mindful place, you're not getting any closer. How do you feel about that?
That's a loaded question, my G. Damn. I mean, the thing is, I don't think I'm trying to get any, I don't have like a goal of like what it looks like to be my most authentic self. I just look at it, like I'm not looking big picture either. I think I'm just looking at these small things. Like the fact that a lot of times is big picture is because I have the chance to put together a body of work and sort of just notice these things about myself. But that wasn't like in an effort to, you know, completely rid myself of like these bad habits that I had, no pun intended, but to realize that like these bad habits were a part of me and something that I necessarily wanted to move past because I felt they weren't being positive for me as a person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You could be authentic to yourself and realize, and like, but also realize that some of your authentic habits are toxic.
I think we have this sort of distorted notion that everything about our most real selves are like good and true, and I think that's why everyone should be in therapy. Like, only half the battle is realization. Only half of it is realizing where you're at. The other half is figuring out what you want to do with it. And you could be someone like Sally Boy who just creates like banging music out of it. Or you could be like me and ask everyone really loaded questions to avoid dealing with his own problems. So there's that.
See, not everyone could be like Sally Boy, though. So they don't give him that hope. So,
premise rejected, bitch.
Yeah, your conclusion is false because premise two is kind of lacking. So maybe go back and revisit that one.
You're reminding me so much of my logic professor from college.
I never took a logic class, man. That's just too heavy.
Mm.
Well, I just took a Kant class. So like when we were talking earlier about if everyone believes that God exists, he exists. That's like genuinely a philosophy people held that like,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, there's a pretty crazy philosophies about God. And existence, confident in anything really exists, sort of.
But what do you do with that? If you come to the assumption that nothing exists, how do you change the way that you live?
Well, it's not exactly that. He thinks that there's things that exist, but the way that we see things is not at all how they actually are in the real world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perception.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really have, I don't think I've read that and I was like, yo. Like, I gotta change everything.
close the book. Walked away.
Literally, like, I read that and I was like, yo, this music shit ain't it. I think it was just like one of those things. I was like, that's a really interesting concept. And I sort of, it doesn't like change your perception. It sort of contextualizes it, you know? That's sort of what it does.
Mm-hmm.
More so than anything else.
I think a lot about that in regard to free will, which is my area of philosophy that makes me go like, yo, what are we even doing? And I think particularly of Peter Vanenwagen's an essay on free will, where he talks about how like, scientifically speaking, there is no way that we can have free will because the way that neurons fire is like super deterministic. But if there is no free will, it still feels like there is. So like, do we really change anything about what we do? Like, should we? Or should we just pretend that free will does exist?
I think if you linger too long on that, you end up in a padded room.
Where do you think I am right now, Pedro?
That's why the green screen.
Yeah. I have not come out of here since the beginning of quarantine. But yes, I want to talk a little bit about True American. The song is a bop. The song is made for summer. And Ryan made a connection that I didn't even think about that I want to read for y'all really quick. He said that the little bit at the end, like giveabitchabreak.com, it reminds him of the interludes that the Offspring would include on their 90s albums, especially Americana. Oh. And speaking of the album, Dexter Holland said that the songs on Americana aren't condemnations. They're short stories about the state of things and what we see going on around us. We want to expose the darker side of our culture. It may look like an episode on Happy Days out there in America, but it feels more like Twin Peaks. And the question that he has is, does it feel like much has changed since then for you? I mean, like, I'm assuming we all were little tykes in the 90s, if around at all.
Yeah. Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, no worries. Let's see if we could do this justice for Ryan. So basically, the songs on that album, they aren't condemnations of the way that America is. It's more like observations about what's going on and how it may look like happy out there, but really it feels more like an episode of Twin Peaks to be in it. Does that something that feels like it rings true today?
Definitely. I mean, yeah, I think like True American Singer is a really happy song. Okay, it has a good energy and whatnot. But like, I guess it's sort of similar to that whole notion, right? That like on the surface level, listen to it, you're like, this is a summer bop. Like, I'm gonna listen to this at the beach. But if you really listen to it, there's sort of like the choruses, although like the verses are sort of more like drunken ramblings and sort of just like present moment thoughts and whatnot, and they are good vibes and whatnot. But like the course is really like about, you know, getting injured and not having the money to pay for it, like because you don't have insurance. Like that's what I'm saying. Like just like add up all my money, like all my food, all the money I usually spend on food, I'm gonna spend that instead on like a health insurance bill because I'm a true American. So like, I do think it 100% reads true, and like in a way, like I'm not condemning it, but I do condemn in general, like the healthcare system in America, because it's abysmal and it's like super like classist. So, I think it's an observation in the song, sure, but like the song sort of does give that same energy, whereas in Twin Peaks, because like from the outside, it looks like it's like all this great stuff and there is some good content there, but like on the real, it's like about some fucked up shit that is the state of affairs in America.
Besides that, what else do you associate with the idea of present day America?
I mean, I think there's like a really, I think at least in my age group and like a lot of my friends, I feel like I've seen like, I feel like there's just like this weird wave occurring right now where people are sort of, maybe it's just the point that I'm at in my life and the people around me, but like there's just a lot of uncertainty and there's also this underlying hysteria around like climate change that people don't really like give like airtime to, but everyone has sort of come, I feel like everyone in their own little way has come to this acceptance of the fact that climate change is like happening and no one's doing anything about it, right? Like no one's actually like spending the time every day to take a second out of the day. So it's like this weird like willful termination of species that we've sort of been begun in our own minds, and I feel like that's slowly making its little impact on us, and that is a worldwide thing as well as an American thing. But like, I don't know, man, America's fucked up. It's hysteric and it's frantic and it's all over the place. Like look at just the laws and the Supreme Court, and I don't know, we don't need to get into like
definitely
the whole,
not
my whole state of affairs on America.
Yeah, like, giveabitchabreak.com.
Literally give a bitch a break.
I will say though, like with all that, that's like that's what the song made me feel. It's like everything is just falling apart, everything's on fire, everything sucks, and we've sort of just been like, okay.
Yeah.
Pour the drink, blast the music, fuck it.
It's like exactly.
Because like it's happening, it's like, and you're sort of just trying to like enjoy like a few moments of just exactly. Like I don't want to care right now.
It's this idea of like the world's burning, like finances are in crisis, like no one's there to look out for you. But damn, man, just give me a break for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
but can we like go dance and get another drink real quick?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
For like a little bit, please.
Exactly. That's like all like, that's what I try to do with my music, is just give people a break for like those 2-3 minutes, or like provide some sort of alleviation, or like transport you into this sort of sense of zen that you can then work through your issues if you really want to. So like, man, this is like the purest instantiation of that. Like fucking give me a break.
Right.
Like, take a break. You deserve it.
The fact that we need that, I mean, we've all been brainwashed by this idea that personal responsibility is what got us here, when it's not. It's like corporations, it's the oil industry. And yeah, like a lot, when we give ourselves a break, we kind of feel like we should be doing something else. But if we are just kind of scared into immobilization, like what can we do?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask Pedro to make me some water ice.
Water ice? Yeah. I'm taking a break. Make your own.
Let's go, the working class man. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
This is a call to like strike, actually.
Yeah.
I want like union workers at Amazon to like giveabitchabreak.com.
Give a bitch a break.
Just like picket workers just yelling give a bitch a break.
Let's manifest this right now. The song is out in a few weeks, and by the end of the summer, let's make it the union anthem.
Literally, take it, guys. Run with
the Sally Boy Revolution.
The Sally Boy Revolution. This is, it's always my goal to, you know, be the president of the United States. So this is my first drop in the water. I think we should take out that sex tapes line.
I kind of want to conclude this part of the interview on a happier note, if we can. We've been talking a lot about breaks and giving ourselves a break, but let's open this up to the room. How often and how do you spend your breaks?
Hey, Joe, I want you to go first on this one.
Honestly, I give myself breaks as often as I can. Like, I'll try to just remind myself just daily, stop for a second, sit, go feed yourself, don't look at your phone, whatever. I just try to sort of do that daily just so I don't completely burn out by the end of the week, you know, stuff like that. Any opportunity I can find to like get away, hang with friends, I just try to make that a regular thing as opposed to being like, I'm going to go through this 2 months nonstop and then take a week to go do something fun. Like, I'd way rather get through a day and feel good about it at the end as opposed to just feeling completely burnt out by everything I've had to do. I think breaks are necessary when you feel they're necessary. Take them. Just sit and like don't do anything for a little bit.
Think in your mind.
Drink some water.
Literally just drink. First of all, drink some water. This is your sign right now. Get a glass of water. Go to your fridge, get a glass of water and chug that one and then fill up another one.
Yes.
And then take it back with you.
Stay hydrated, folks.
I feel like sitting, literally just sitting, no stimulation whatsoever and just thinking is the best thing you can do for your brain ever. Like just when you just sit and do nothing, close your eyes and just sort of think, you come up with some crazy shit. Like where does your mind go is places that like it just does it on its own. So that's always really nice. You know what the best form of break though is? A bath.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. I took a bath earlier this week because I was just so overwhelmed and I'm like, wait a minute, I have like 30 bath bombs that I have not used. Threw one in, poured myself a glass of wine, and just put on an audiobook and just chilled.
Yeah, literally. Just it's like a hug.
Mm-hmm.
The continuous hug.
And everyone's like, ew, do you like to just sit in your dirty body water? I'm like, no, you rinse first and then you pour the bath.
Thank you. This is this is what people are missing. That exactly. That's what I do. I go, I take a shower, right? And then I go bathe. And then sometimes afterwards, I'll do a little rinse afterwards too. People are just so like anti-bath, but like there's a way to do it hygienically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've been
take care
off.
Of yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I want to back up just a second because the way that you describe just sitting and thinking, I've been reading Alan Watts's The Art of Zen, and he talks about how like that was the original idea behind meditation. In our Western ideology, like the idea of stopping is itself an act because we're always doing something. But that is just diametrically opposed to what Buddhism initially was, which is just, God, okay, I'm just going to drop this because like I keep like coming up to the point and then like I just get overwhelmed. Okay. I need a break.
Let's take a break. Let's take a quick second. Let's take a breath for all of
us.
All right. What were you saying?
All right. So meditation just meant sitting. That's all it was. All you do is sit, but it is diametrically opposed to the way that Westerners live our lives, where stopping and meditating is itself an act. We are choosing to do it. We are sitting so that we can get somewhere. But really, meditation is just all you do is sit. There you are. You're sitting. That's it.
Yeah, and that's something I've come to grapple with, I feel like, especially it's just like in the American lifestyle in general, just like this idea of always having to do something. And like, I like, there's like this sense of guilt almost entrenched in giving yourself a break and just sitting, literally just like sitting to do nothing, is like seen as like, what are you doing? Like, you're not bettering yourself, or like, you are bettering yourself, but like people don't see it like that. Like, you're not like getting yourself to the place you need to be, quote unquote. So like, damn, like you need to get in touch with our brains. Think with that bitch.
I'm gonna steal Drew's words for a second. He said this on an earlier episode, but we also think of this idea of self-care as being as repairing ourselves to a point where we can be productive again. We're like taking ourselves into the shop to make ourselves productive little worker ants again. But no, you're doing it for you. You're doing it just so that you can be okay.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
do it to run the capitalist rat race.
Yeah. Except for me, I'm going to be president, so I got to just, you know, stick around.
You can't. No more breaks.
No more breaks for me. I've reached my allotment. I actually read somewhere that the average president takes 10 to 15 breaks total in their entire lives. So I gotta pump my numbers up. Push them down.
You gotta catch up.
You gotta catch the fuck up. I've only taken one. Damn. Nah, but for real.
And with that, I think it's time we gave ourselves a break. Who would like to head on over to our hotline and play a game of hashtag mood?
Let's do it.
I forgot about this aspect. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's hit this hashtag mood theme song, shall we? What's your mood? What's your hashtag? What is your mood?
What's your hashtag?
Thank you, Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty, for that amazing hashtag mood theme song. What is hashtag mood, you ask? Hashtag mood is the game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building muscles. What we're going to do right now is head on into the Tunes and Tumblers inbox, which is our hotline, our DMs, our email, everything compiled into one area where we can see how you've been doing. People have let us know what's going on in their minds, what's going on in their hearts, the crazy things they've had to deal with. We're going to take one and create the ultimate playlist to encapsulate it. And there is actually one that I saw earlier that fits exactly what we've been talking about in this interview. This one comes to us on Instagram from @formalbirds.
Finally being happy and making a change in my life for no one else but me.
All right. Give me love, George Harrison, immediately.
That's
give
a good
love.
One.
Give it to me. Let me take
I
it.
I like that.
You deserve it, formal birds.
Making a change in my life for no one else but me. Pedro, you got one for this?
I mean, it's a pretty basic one that just came immediately. Is the About Damn Time by Lizzo.
I was just thinking. Yeah. I was just thinking about that. Was it the one where she says, I just took a DNA test, that one?
Oh, that's Truth Hurts, I think.
Truth Hurts. But that's Truth also, Hurts. Truth Hurts is also a good one for this.
Also, good as hell. I mean,
anything Lizzo. Really.
Listen to Lizzo. Listen to Lizzo.
Just give us best of Lizzo. let's think. Making a change for nobody else but me. Do you have a song? Gives You Hell by the All American.
Yes. Love that.
I'm trying to remember the name of this. Oh yes. This one is from when I was a kid who only listened to country music. It's Keith Urban's Who Wouldn't Want to Be Me. I love that one.
Nice.
That's a good song.
I'm going to Life is Beautiful later on this summer, and I discovered this this funk singer named Blue De Tiger. De Tiger? I have not. Yeah.
Blue
De Tiger. That's how you pronounce her name. But her song, Hot Crush Lover, that one is about like taking something that you want. Yeah, you're gonna be my hot crush lover. You want to live it up with a stunner, like you know that you're cool.
Yeah,
and you're gonna be with me because of how cool I am, like that. I like that
the sentiment of like this is like pure like self,
yes,
what's the word, confidence.
Yes, more self-confidence, we need that. Does anyone have any others, or are we feeling good about this playlist?
I'm blanking.
I think we got some nice songs up in this bitch.
I mean, you have the whole Lizzo catalog, so
it's,
I think,
true,
you're good.
Yeah. We have like 7 songs and then like a whole 20 songs. How many songs does Lizzo even have? I honestly couldn't even tell you.
Just yeah, it's Ryan's job to build the playlist. Ryan, just throw Lizzo's entire catalog in there, and we're gonna call it a day.
We can just say a bunch of words and then hope some of them come together to form other songs that Ryan can put together. I, giant, worldwide, phenomenon.
So Pitbull. Plastic. Pitbull in there too.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. Fucking
Miami. Fuck. Damn, yeah. Mr. Anything Pitbull too. What are you guys think? Like, literally, Pitbull is pure, just exudes self-confidence, that man.
Yeah, he pumps you up.
Mm-hmm. That he's gonna be at Bottle Rock. We yeah. Our network wants to send us to Bottle Rock this year, and we're very grateful, guys, but we're also very tired. We are very, very tired little boys who need a break.
What is Bottle Rock?
Oh, Bottle Rock's a music festival in Napa Valley, and Pitbull is one of the headliners.
That's kind of lit. Who would thought that Pitbull going up to Napa Valley, people would be like, yeah, let's go, Pitbull, Napa Valley.
Wasn't there like a whole, there was like a whole competition?
They're all going to hear him for the first time.
Yeah, literally.
A while back, there was like this competition where like you would vote for your home Walmart or whatever, and Pitbull would go and play it, and a bunch of people on the internet co-opted it and like made a Walmart in like middle of nowhere Alaska win.
Oh yeah!
But then he went yeah. And he did it.
That's pretty
man
epic.
Of his word.
I feel like Pitbull would walk through Napa and all the wine would turn into tequila.
Yes,
that would be amazing. He's party Jesus.
I'm
gonna turn this wine into tequila.
I went to a NASCAR event here in Los Angeles, and it was like everyone in, first of all, it was like everyone in Los Angeles got to live out like their Southern dream. You know, people just like just like jean shorts, you know, camouflage hats, whatnot. But Pitbull and Ice-T played it. No, not Ice-T.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube and fucking Pitbull like performed at like the Coliseum at this NASCAR event. And also it's so fucking loud. That shit is like ridiculous.
This is like the weirdest string of sentences I never thought I'd hear.
You didn't think we'd get here, right?
we went somewhere.
Exactly. I didn't even think of like how loud a NASCAR event would be in person.
It's ridiculously loud, like unreal.
Mm-hmm. If I ever go to NASCAR, I got to remember to bring my earplugs. It's good to know.
Yeah, they also have some. Don't worry. I think they realize. They're like, this shit's loud. I'm sorry, guys.
Listeners, do you have a mood of your own? Leave us a message by calling or texting the Tunes and Tumblers hotline at 626-604-6477 or slide into our DMs. We will take your moods from anywhere. Send them by carrier pigeon. Have them delivered by the adorable 4-year-old that lives the building down from you. Put it in attach it to a rock and attach it to his leg, and we will read that mood when it gets to us.
Also, don't do that.
These are just ideas. We're not responsible for what people do to get their moods to us. But it is looking to be that time. The bar is closing up. We have a lot of repairs to do from where Ryan and I ran the bar ourselves. But before we go, Sally Boy, do you have any lingering thoughts? Anything you'd like to plug? What's in your mind?
Well, she's drawing I'm making.
Oh.
We finish it real quick.
We gotta frame it and put it on the bar wall.
I'll send this to you guys via the cute 4-year-old that done on the street for me. I'm like, yo, give this to Tumblrs and Tunes and Tumblrs. It's like, what is this?
Come here, Tyler. You just tie it to him. He's got all kinds of notes on him. Kid.
This is a lot. We gotta get him.
Oh, give me a
he's
break.
He's the one delivering the notes. That's him.
This is This is Tyler. He's like, I can't deliver any more notes to you guys. Pay me a living wage.
You're an intern. You started in kindergarten.
No, but I have to plug. Man, listen to fucking Nothing to Lose. That came out like a few weeks ago. Anything Sally Boy, obviously the Sally Boy show. By this time, I feel like by the time this comes out, I'll have a Nothing to Lose visualizer up and running, which is why I have that bad boy behind me. If you guys remember from earlier, the mascot head. So yeah, shit, check all that out. It's Nothing to Lose, Nothing to Lose visualizer, Sally Boy show, Sally Boy, boom.
Go check out all of Sally Boy's music. Nothing but bangers. Just line it up, bangers, one after the other.
Knock them back.
Don't take a break.
Do not take a break from this.
This
is your break.
Erez, okay. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We had an amazing time. This was a great break.
Guys, I went to the zoo the other day. Sorry.
I was waiting for the rest.
Just awesome. Like, great. I mean, it's okay. The chimpanzees are cool. Anyways,
take a break and
lovely
go to the zoo.
Meeting you guys.
It was great
go to the
meeting
zoo
you
for
too.
The day. It's pretty cheap. You can walk around, get your steps in. Hey, have a good day.
And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform, and please rate and subscribe to us wherever you get those podcasts. It helps us out a lot, and we live for those ratings. We absolutely live for them. And if you go into the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you'll find a link where you can donate to the pod directly. Every dollar goes to making water ice in Pedro's fridge. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Drew Franzblau. Our theme song is by New Girlfriend. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.